city folk compared to someone from the suburbs, someone who had a blessed life, who come from a rich home. I don't think I'm better than you. And I want you to know that right off the bat. If anything, I think you people are better than me. Because I've had it easy, and I've had it good, and I've had it soft, and that's why I'm weak. And I know that you've gone through more things than I've ever gone through, and probably ever will. And so you have a strength, and you have an endurance that I probably don't have. So I want to encourage you today. When I preach to you the Word of God, it's not like I'm up here on the pulpit looking down at you. It's like I'm just encouraging you. Like, let's all get in this thing. Amen? Amen. So that's the way I'm going to preach to you today. And I want to encourage you because there are some things that I knew, you know as a Christian, but you don't necessarily really know it, you know? It's not real. There's things that sometimes you've heard it, but you haven't really heard it. And God's been giving me just some really fresh revelation over the last 2 years. I mean, really fresh. For a long time, I was reading the Bible and searching the Scriptures, and I was doing everything I could to try to bring my life in line with this Bible. Because I know the world's a mess. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. I knew my life was a mess apart from God. That wasn't hard for me to figure out. And I knew I didn't know what I was doing. And I knew he knew. And so I was trying everything I could to bring my life in line with this Bible. But if you're not careful, you can start to become like the Pharisees, where you're looking for your own righteousness. And you miss what it's really all about. Where you're looking to make yourself great and become great. And although that's good in a way, you can miss what it's all about. So I want to encourage you guys today. And I hope that this time will be a blessing. So before we open the Scriptures, I'm just going to pray real quick, and then we're going to open the Scriptures. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one near you. I encourage you to try to grab it. Look along. These are the words of life. These words have power. They have real power when you receive them into your heart and into your spirit. But we got to be still, amen, and hear it. So let's pray. Father, I'm coming before you now, and I'm asking in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we just sung to. I'm asking, Lord, that you would please fill this place with your presence. Father, your Son came to save sinners, and we are all sinners before you. And Father, you came to give us your grace, to manifest your love, to give us redemption and a new life in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Father, please, loose my tongue. Open my heart. Open my mouth. Open your heart to us. Help us to hear from you. We need you. We don't need me. We need you. And so, God, please, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you would bless this time. Lord, that this would really be life-changing for all of us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to read a text, and then I'm going to try to encourage you. 1 Corinthians 15. It's right after Romans. We're going to start in verse number 16. 1 Corinthians 15. For too long, Christianity has begun to adopt a defeated mindset. A defeated mindset. And we think we're outnumbered. And sometimes we think it's all fake and it's just people playing church. But I want to, as much as I can, try to show you that it's real, and we shouldn't be walking in defeat, but that we can have victory in this life. Yeah. Not just the world to come, but we can have victory in this life.
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 16. Paul said, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, so by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. I want to read that verse again, verse 25. For he must reign till he hath put how many enemies? All enemies under his feet. What I want to preach to you tonight about is about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you about the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. I want you to go to the book of John. We're going to go to John in chapter 16. John chapter 16. A lot of people who are Christians say, one day I'm going to be up there. One day there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more death, right? And that's all true. And I can't wait for that rapture because I want to escape. And that's true. But they almost use that as an excuse to say, there's nothing I can do right now to overcome my situation. Now, when we talk about the Christian life, often it's preached that there are three enemies of the Christian. Does anybody know what those three are? Now, there's really more, but the three enemies that are often talked about, three enemies of the Christian.
The devil, the flesh, and the world.
The devil, the flesh, and the world. Anybody ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
World, flesh, and devil, right? Okay, so one of the things that really sometimes hinders us from following Christ, or at least we think does, is the world, right? Come on,
yeah.
Peer pressure, friends, family, the media, the political system, the one world government, the Illuminati, right? All this stuff that, man, what can we do? We can't overcome this. It seems like righteousness keeps getting smaller and smaller. It seems like the churches keep getting smaller and smaller, and the wickedness keeps growing. And sometimes people are like, what do you expect me to do, preacher? The drugs, the alcohol, the women, the way they dress, what am I supposed to do? Right? The world, we can't overcome this. Look at John chapter 16. Look what Jesus Christ says in verse 33. He says, these things have I... Actually, let's have someone else read. Brother, can you read for us? No? Can someone else read? Who wants to stand up and read? Verse 33. Go ahead, brother. 16:33. Now, Jesus Christ says, in the world, you're going to have what?
Tribulation.
So some people, they think, they try to follow Christ for a little while, and they face some resistance, and they go, forget this. I'm going back into the world.
Right.
Well, do you have perfect peace in the world?
No.
Have you had peace running after the ways of the world? No. So you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have troubles, whether you follow Christ, whether you don't follow Christ. In the world, you're going to have tribulation.
Right.
But in Christ, he says, I give you peace. And he says, when you have tribulation in the world, what does he say you should do?
Right.
No, he doesn't say that, although we should. But what does he say in that verse? He says, say that again.
Be of good cheer.
When you have tribulation in the world, smile. Be glad. Say yes. Yes. Amen. You know why? What did Jesus say about the world?
He
says, I've overcome the world. I have overcome the world. I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ overcame the world 100%. There was nobody that ever pressured him into doing something that he was not supposed to do before his father. There was nobody that ever forced him or twisted him or connived him or got one by him or fooled him. Jesus Christ overcame the world. And when they came for him, for his very life, Jesus Christ was still in charge of the situation. They came to arrest him, and he said, "I am," and they all fell backwards. And then they took him to the chief priest, and Jesus just sat there and didn't say a word. He wasn't going to answer the man. And when they said, "We adjure thee by the Most High, tell us if you be the Christ," he said, "I am, and you'll see me coming in the right hand of the cloud of power." That's what he said to the chief priest. Yeah. Then they brought him before Pilate. Pilate was a governor. He was kind of like a little king. And guess who was in charge of that situation? Jesus Christ was. Jesus Christ didn't fold under any pressure. Nothing.
Pilate couldn't find any fault in him.
Couldn't find any fault in him. Jesus Christ said, "I have overcome the world." Now you go, "That's Jesus, that's not me." We're going to get there. But I want to show you, Jesus Christ has absolute power over the world. We cannot use that as an excuse. That, "Oh, the world's too much." I'm going to show you that will not be a legitimate excuse. Jesus Christ has power over the world. The second thing we talk about is the flesh, right? The flesh. Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Right? Paul talks about the lust that wars in his members. Amen? You guys ever experienced some lust? You ever experienced some lust warring in your members? You see something and you want it, but you know it's not yours. You know it doesn't belong to you. You know God hasn't given that to you. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Amen? Look, if God gives it to you, hey, you can lust after it all you want. Enjoy it. That's of God. But if God doesn't give it to you, that doesn't belong to you. You know that lust in the flesh. He goes, "There's nothing I can do." Well, look at the next chapter, John 17. Look at verse 1 and 2. Somebody read verse 1 and 2 for me. Brother. Amen. He has power over what?
All flesh.
Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
All flesh. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Think about the sins of the flesh. Lust, adultery, fornication, maybe thefts, maybe covetousness, maybe bitterness, maybe unforgiveness.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe that dark spirit. Maybe that jaded attitude, that evil eye, you're always eyeing people up, you don't trust nobody, right? All these things of the flesh, these things that they just seize upon you, you can't seem to get victory. But then think about it, what's the greatest enemy of the flesh? You know what the greatest enemy of the flesh is? It's death itself. You know, we talk about disease, we talk about depression, we talk about suffering, what about death? You could live a perfectly healthy life your entire life, but guess what one day is going to beat you? Death. You're not going to beat death. You don't have the power over death. I don't have the power over death. We do not have power over all flesh, but guess the one who does? Jesus Christ. You understand, when you're putting your faith in Christ, you're not putting your faith in a dead, dying Savior on a cross. He died unto sin once, but he lives unto God forevermore. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he lifted up his hand to heaven and he said, "I live forever." He said, "Who's going to stop me now?" Nobody's going to stop Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand, he says, "I have power over all flesh. I am eternal life, and I give it to as many as I want to." So you're not just talking about power over your lust, your greed, your envy, your hate, your bitterness, all those things that have destroyed your life from day one. We're talking about power over death itself. Jesus Christ has it. That's power. Trump doesn't have that kind of power. Trump's going to build a wall. Trump's going to bring jobs back. All right, that's great. But you know what's going to happen to Trump one day? He's going to be in that coffin just like you. And he ain't coming out on his own power. But there was one who did come out on his own power. Okay, we're talking about the Superman of all supermen. Jesus Christ, power over all flesh. Now, look at this last one. Look at this last one. Go back, we'll stay in John just to keep it simple. Go back to John and chapter 15. Actually, it's 14. I'm sorry, 14. They talk about the world, they talk about the flesh, and they talk about the devil. Now, there are people who think they're going to outsmart the devil. That's called pride, arrogancy, and stupidity. Okay? How long you been alive? Anybody here? Older than 40? Anybody here older than 40? Okay. Anybody here older than 50? Older than 60? Still standing? We got one hand. Older than 70? Okay. So the most years experience we have is 60 years right here. And you could say maybe the first 6 years don't really count that much, although, you know, they help form who we are. But, okay. 60 years experience versus the devil has at least 6,000. Okay. Now, did you ever read what the Bible says about the devil when he was first created? Did you guys ever read what it says about him? Yeah?
And he was a cherubim. He was God's music maestro. He did all the, like we have a master of music.
Yes.
He did that.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks like he was the master of music in heaven. You're right, he's a cherub. Most people think he was an angel. There's actually a distinction. He was a cherub. Oh, God loves music, man. Bro, that's why we love music. Because we're made in the image of God. What the devil tries to do is he tries to use music to get you into the realm of darkness. Because music's powerful. Music has a way of skipping your mind and going right into your soul. Sometimes you don't even process what you're listening to, but it's entering right into your heart and into your spirit. So the devil's going to use music, and look at how he's trapped an entire generation with corrupt music. Corrupt music corrupts your soul. And you can see it. The fruit of that music, the heavy metal, the rap, the hip-hop, the fruit of that music is death. It has brought no good. And even the people that were trapped in that industry and have escaped that industry, they'll be the first ones to tell you there's nothing good about that. It's the devil, and he uses that power to control an entire generation. And people think, oh, I'm my own man. Yeah, but you look like everybody else who listens to that music. Right? Music as a way to shape you and form you and form your mind and form your heart. God made music. The devil tries to use it for evil now, but God uses it for good. And good music is going to take you into the light. It's going to take you into love. It's going to bring you into life.
Holy songs.
Amen. Holy songs, like we were singing. So the devil was the music maestro. He was also a high priest. You read about him, man. He had gold and he had the stones. He was the anointed cherub. He was a priest, man. And you know what it says about him? You know what it says about the devil? He was perfect in wisdom and in beauty. Now, raise your hand here if you think you're perfect in wisdom and beauty when you were created. All right, I'm looking at us, none of us, okay? None of us.
Nope.
Ain't perfect in wisdom or beauty. Not either. He was. So don't think you're going to outsmart the devil. Don't think you're going to make a deal with the devil and then you're going to beat him later on. He's way smarter than you. Way smarter. And the truth is, if we're honest, for the most part, he can just keep using the same trap and he keeps getting us for the same thing. Right? We usually fall for the same thing. We're like the mouse, you know, and there's that thing of cheese and we just can't resist it. Amen?
Amen.
Now look at what it says about the devil and Jesus Christ. John 14. John 14, verse 30. Look what he says. John 14, verse 30. Someone read it for us. Yes. He says, "Hereafter I'll not talk much with you. For the prince of this world," he's talking about the devil. The devil's the one who runs this world system right now, not God. Mm-hmm. Now, God owns the earth, But he's not running this world system. This world system that is all based on what you see, it's all based on what you taste, all based on the five senses, instant gratification, this is run by the devil. And he says, the prince of this world, he hath nothing in me. What does that mean? It means when the devil came to tempt Jesus, he couldn't find anything to hook him with. When the devil came to try to get Jesus, to overcome Jesus, he couldn't get the one up on him. When he tried to wrestle with Jesus at his weakest point, Jesus was at his weakest point, Jesus just shut down the devil. It was nothing for him. Nothing. When Jesus Christ would show up and there were people with devils, the devils were terrified of Christ. They wanted to flee out of his presence. They say, we want nothing to do with you. You know, some of us, when we walk into a room where there's devils, or maybe there's devils in our kids sometime, or there's devils, right? You've faced devils. And sometimes you're afraid of that darkness. You go, man, that power is more powerful than me. Not Jesus Christ. He had no fear. He would walk up. There was a guy with 2,000 devils at least. And he walked right up to the guy. And the guy, please, I don't want to. Look, get out of him. Oh, well, can we at least go into the pigs? All right, fine, go into the pigs. He goes, I got control of this man right now. You're gone. See, understand, like, you know, you ever see these preachers on TV, right? And some of them, they make this big show, and, you know, I bind you, oh, Satan, and they're doing all this dancing, and they got to get the lights flashing and the smoke, you know, machines going. That's because they don't have real strength, you know? That's like a WWF, you know, these guys, those big, you know. When Bruce Lee walked into the room, he didn't have to do that stuff. You know why? Because he had real power. He could just walk in, calm, casual. People wanted to try him out. Okay, let's go. No match for him. See, and that's what Jesus Christ was like. When he walked into the room, he didn't have to try to prove himself. He didn't have to put on a big show because he had the real power. He says, he's got nothing in me. So I want you to understand, Jesus Christ, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Mary, not even the church on its own, not even the preacher on his own. Jesus Christ said, he just said, I've overcome the world, I have power over all flesh, and the devil's got nothing in me. Right. Nothing. Okay, so the three biggest enemies that we deal with, the world, the flesh, and the devil, Jesus Christ says, they got nothing on me. Zero. Now you go, that doesn't help me. Jesus is in heaven. I'm stuck on earth. He left me alone. Ah, but wait, he didn't leave us alone. Go to Philippians 1.
Chapter 15 is wonderful.
Yeah, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's wonderful.
Testifying unto you, God asks us to be in him.
Yeah, John 15, 16, those are powerful chapters. Look at this, Philippians chapter 1. Now, real quick, I want to just make sure that we're all on the same page. Being a Christian does not happen because you go to church.
Right.
You're not a Christian because you were baptized when you were an infant or because you were baptized as an adult or as a kid. You might have prayed a prayer when you were 8, but that doesn't necessarily make you a Christian. Okay? Does anybody know what makes somebody a Christian? Absolutely, 100%. Brother.
You have to choose. You have to make a conscious decision to go to God out of your own heart and turn in that direction and follow.
Amen. So what you're talking about right there, a conscious decision you choose, not your parents, not anybody else. You choose. You want to go to God. That's the first step. That's called repentance. Anybody ever heard that word? You've heard repentance? That's what that is. He just described what repentance is. Where I, in a conscious decision, say, I want to go to God. Now, let me ask you a question. Anybody feel free to answer. Why does it make sense for you, for me, to go to God?
Right.
Why does it make sense? Yeah.
Because God gave us all a choice. We have to make our, he gives us all a choice. Either we choose him or we choose the devil. One another.
And you're right.
To make it a Christian, you have to have a relationship with God.
Okay, amen. So he's building a relationship. But I want to say something real quick. For years, I grew up in church, and sometimes there's churches where it makes it seem like if you go to God, your life's going to be miserable, it's going to be boring, there's nothing you can do. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever thought that? How many of you have struggled in yourself? Struggled in yourself. It's like, I kind of want to give my life to God, but I really also don't. I want to hold on to these other things, or I don't know if I really trust them. Have you ever struggled with that in yourself? Anybody? I've struggled with that in myself. Now, why does it make sense to say, you know what? Screw it all. I want to go to God, no matter what the cost. Why does that make sense? Even let's not talk about Jesus yet. Right. I'm just talking about God in general. Why does it make sense to go to God and just say, you know what? There's nothing else. Why?
Why?
Say that?
He's the Almighty.
And then another thing. When
they make a decision like that, we say, I'm just going to go to God. I'm giving up. The people who, when they make that type of decision, they tired. They tired of the life we see in the world.
They're tired. They're tired.
They're tired and they're going to go on. They tried everything, so we're going to go on and surrender.
Amen.
To God.
Amen. Amen. Let me explain it to you this way. I don't know what you've done with your life. I don't know what you guys have done. I know what I've done. And you look around at what man has built, right? Some things are impressive. A lot of stuff is a mess. Did you ever look at planet Earth, like really look at it, go out in nature? Did you ever watch, pay attention to the seasons? Did you ever look at all the animals, like start to study the animals, the insects? Right, males, you appreciate a beautiful woman? Okay, nice design, right? Okay, women, you appreciate a strong, confident man, right? Okay, you start studying God's creation and you start to realize, wow, this guy is way more powerful, way more intelligent, has way more resources than all of humanity put together. So now let me ask you a question. If you could have access, if you could be hand in hand with the creator of heaven and earth, please, someone raise their hand and tell me what's better than that. Give me one thing that's better. Heroin, is that better than being hand in hand with the creator of heaven and earth? Okay, laying with a woman, is that better than being hand in hand with the creator of heaven and earth? What if you could get in with Donald Trump in the inner circle? No, I'm serious. You could be in the inner circle. This guy is a multi-millionaire, billionaire, and he's the president of the United States. And you could be in the inner circle and have his ear. And whatever you told him, he would listen to and he would take action. Now some of you, this just got real. But I'm telling you right now, Trump is like this. He's not even this small compared to God. He's a joke compared to God. You're talking about, what has Trump built? Trump Tower? You ever see Niagara Falls? You ever see Mount Everest? Yeah, we talk about the pyramids. Oh, look at what the ancients built. The pyramids are a joke compared to a mountain. God, poof. So sometimes our mind is messed up because maybe God has been misrepresented to us. We think God is some warlord who just wants to make our lives miserable. He made everything good. You ever enjoy a good meal? God's the one who made food. You ever enjoy a good relationship with the opposite sex? God designed that. He made that. There's not one thing good that you've ever enjoyed that God did not make. So what I'm saying right now is, why wouldn't you want to, if you could know, if you had to lose everything, but you could get hand in hand with the Creator, is that not worth it? Okay, that's called repentance. That's what that man just described, where I say, you know what, I want God. There's a lot of good things in this world, but you know what? Even better than the good things that God made is God Himself. Because He's able to remake everything. He's able to make everything new and everything great. And you know what? If I could get hand in hand with God, it'd be all worth it. That's the first step, is repentance. Now, we're talking about becoming a Christian. Go ahead, brother. Yeah. Say that? Yeah. Something, isn't it? I'll tell you what, brother. You know what made it real to me that there was a God? It actually was. It wasn't in church, and it wasn't in the Bible. You know where God proved to me that he's real? It was when I was outside one night, about 18 and a half, 19, and I went for a walk under the stars in a full moon. And that's because I had been doubting. You know, it's like, man, I've been told there's a God, and it's like I want to believe it, but I'm not really sure. And man, I was out there looking at that stuff, and the Spirit of God just moved on me. And it was like, I am real. There's no one else who could have done this. And it's like, when I saw it, it's like, man, God is real. And I want to know that God. Brother, yeah.
Now, when God bless you and you say, God bless you, put you in a situation, if your child is, when do you think God wants us to see us at our best?
Absolutely.
Do you believe that?
Absolutely, brother.
All right. The Bible says he's a king, right?
Amen.
He's the king. All right, I'm going to go to church. I got to put on my best armor because I'm going to greet a king. It's just like if I'm going to a concert. I'm going to buy a nice outfit.
Mm.
Go to that concert.
Gotcha.
I want to put on a nice suit and tie because I'm going to greet a king.
Gotcha. Yeah.
When you think he wants us at our best.
He does. He does. Now, I want to say this. Before he wants us to put on our best on the outside, he wants us to get the best on the inside. Because I want you to tell, because I want you to understand, the Pharisees, they did all that. And Jesus says, you hypocrites, you may clean the outside, but the inside is full of dead man's bones. It's ravening. He said, first clean the inside, then clean the outside. And you're right. He wants both. But start with the heart. Because if it's not from the heart and it's all just outward show, God's not impressed. He ain't impressed with that. He sees right through all that. But you're right. Now, hold on. I want to say one other thing. So the first thing is repentance to God. But that doesn't make you a Christian in and of itself. When you say, I want to know God, I want to get God no matter what the cost, maybe you've never done that, maybe you have, then God is going to take you on a journey, and it might happen that day, it might happen a week later, it might happen 10 years later, I don't know. But eventually, there's somebody God wants you to meet. There's one man that God's going to bring you across his path. You know who that is? Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
He might use a pastor. He might use a preacher. He might use an evangelist. He might use a bum on the street. Okay? He can use anybody. But there's one man you have to meet. You have to come face to face with. And I'm not talking about physically, but you got to come face to face with. And it's Jesus Christ. Because God says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And when you come face to face with Jesus Christ, now you have a choice. Jesus declares to be the Lord, the King. He's coming back to take over this world. He already said it. And when he comes back, he's crushing all his enemies. Every single enemy. We just read, all enemies are being put under his feet. You know what that's talking about? You guys know what that's talking about? In ancient times, when they used to go out to battle, they used to fight. And the little guys, you know, the front men, man, they would die. That wasn't really the main goal. The goal was capture the king. If you could get the enemy's king, it's like playing chess, you won. And what they would do is they would fight, and whoever got those kings were the winners. You know what they did with the kings? They didn't kill them right away. They would take them back to the town, and they would parade them through the town in chains. To show all the women and all the children and everybody, look, we won, we got the kings. And they'd bring them up to the king. And the king would be sitting there on his throne. And they'd bring the enemies right up to the king. And they'd lay him right on the ground and he'd put his feet right on top of them. As a show to say, we won. And that king, sometimes he'd break the neck, sometimes he'd have them kill him, but that king would then destroy the kings right in front of everybody. So when the scripture says all things are being put under his feet, I want you to understand, when he comes back, he's not losing. This world is not so powerful it's going to beat Jesus. The Antichrist is not going to beat Jesus. There's going to be no competition. They're going to be brought on his feet. He's going to break the necks of his enemies, the scripture says. So I want you to understand that Jesus Christ says, I'm king. I win.
Right.
Are you with me or against me? Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me.
Right.
So that's why the scripture says, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Jesus Christ is what?
Lord.
Lord. So when you come to that faith, you say, I want God no matter what. God says, all right, meet my son. And then you meet his son and you start to see, wow, this is the Lord. He really is the Christ. There's nobody else who could have done what he did and who will do what he did. And you know what? I want to be on his side. I'm done justifying myself. I'm done trying to sneak around and make my excuses and do what I... You know, he's the Lord. And I'm putting my faith in him. Now, why do I say that? Philippians 1. Look at this. Watch this. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but...
I mean, it matters, but he still would accept you if you're...
Oh, yeah, that doesn't matter to God. God sees the heart. No, yeah, absolutely. But let me say this. If you're someone who's dressing up for a date, and you're dressing up for this, you're dressing up for that, but then when, you know, comes time to do the service of the Lord, you're giving your half heart. See what I'm saying? So then that also shows your heart. Philippians 1, here's what it says. You ready? Actually, sorry, Colossians 1. Go to Colossians 1. Next book over, Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 27. When you believe on Christ, you know what happens? Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what makes you a Christian? When you receive the Spirit of Jesus Christ, when Christ enters into you. That was when you repent and when you believe the gospel. That's right. All right, now, so what's the point? The point is now you have two natures. You've heard about this. You got the new nature and you got the old nature. Which one's stronger, Christ or your old nature?
Christ.
You say, I can't overcome my addictions. I can't overcome my lusts. No, you can't. But you have Christ in you. Can Christ?
Yes.
Does Christ have the power?
Yes, he does.
Has he beat the devil?
Yes.
Did he destroy your lust at the cross?
Yes.
Did he destroy your greed and your envy and your hate at the cross?
Yes.
Did he destroy your weakness and your laziness and your all? Did he destroy that at the cross? So guess what? You have access as a Christian to all the power you need. You have it. And it's within you if you're a Christian. If you're not, sometimes you experience it at church and then when you go out there, it's like you're all on your own again because you are on your own. But when you come to that place where you want God more than anybody else and you bow the knee to Jesus Christ from the heart, now you have Christ in you. And Christ wins. One last scripture and I'm done. Look at Matthew 28. Christ is in you. Matthew 28. I'm trying to encourage you because I want to tell you, over the last 12 to 14 years, I've been getting one victory after another. One victory after another. Now, do I have all the victory yet?
No.
But can I have all the victory? You better believe it. Because Christ is in me and he has all victory.
That's right.
And the scripture says, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this, Matthew 28. When Christ rose from the dead, here's what he says in verse 18. Jesus comes to his disciples. Somebody read that. Verse 18. Matthew
28:18.
Amen. Read that again. Yep.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth.
Amen. Someone else read that. Nice and loud. You got it? Go ahead. Nice and loud.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth.
Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, how much power?
All power.
All power. Everybody say it. All power. Guess who has all power? So guess who has all power? You. You do. If Christ is in you, you have all power.
Amen.
You got it. It's yours. Now, maybe you haven't realized it yet. Maybe you haven't died to certain things yet. But I'm telling you right now, you have access to all power in heaven and earth. It's in you. So whatever it is that you're struggling with, I'm encouraging you, you can get victory over it. Some of the deepest, darkest things I've struggled with in my life, God has been giving me victory. And it's not because of me. It's just because I started saying, Jesus, you got all power. Lord, I believe it. You got all power. Lord, I believe it. And you're in me. You got all power. Lord, I believe it. Just start saying it. You know, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, so go teach all nations. You know who's the first one you should teach? Teach yourself. So you know what? When you're starting to have fears, you're starting to have worries, you're starting to have doubts, you're starting to have lust, start telling yourself, you know what? All power is given to me in heaven and earth. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. I have all power in Jesus Christ. Christ is in me. All power. Start teaching yourself. And then start teaching others. And you know what you're going to find? All power. Amen? All power. Amen. All right. Let's pray for a second, and what I want to do here is just for 1 second, I want to just give us maybe a minute of silence for you to just talk to God. Maybe you haven't heard his voice in a while. Maybe there's something you're struggling with. Maybe you don't even know him yet. So whatever it is, it's just a chance. Just to talk to him, try to hear his voice. And if you can't hear his voice in this next minute, please make sure when you go home, sitting in your bed, just ask him, Lord, what would you say to me? Father, thanks for this time where we could just open your scriptures. Please bless his people. Bless me. Lord, we want to walk in your blessing. We don't want to walk in cursing. We don't want to walk in a life where everything keeps falling apart that we touch. Lord, we want to be blessed of you. And that only comes in Jesus Christ. And Lord, may he be in us and fill us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.